Welcome to the NOLA Drinks Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink and food in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody, welcome to the NOLA Drinks Show. Brian Diaz here with you this week. Yep, friends, Happy New Year. Yeah, it's 2019 or just about. If you're listening here on the radio, it's New Year's Eve. And if you're listening on the podcast, well, it's already 2019, friends. So if you're listening on the radio, I hope you got your party going on. And if you're listening on the podcast, well, hey, I hope you had a good New Year's Eve, had a good time, and your 2019's going great for you so far, friends. Hey, we got a good show coming up for you here today. We're going to head over to a Rania restaurant there on the 3200 block of Magazine Street, Uptown New Orleans. And that spot is run by my friend, chef and owner, Richard Papier. And we're joined by him as well as Shane Finkelstein, who runs Top Taco and Agave Week, which is coming into its third year here in March 2019. Here we are, 2019. So we're talking about events coming up. Here it is. It's already on us. So yeah, that's a really fun event right on the heels of Mardi Gras. Top Taco is the featured grand tasting event taking place at Waldenburg Park on Thursday, March 14th in the evening from 7 to 10 p.m. But leading up to that and kicking off on Sunday, March 10th is Agave Week. And they kind of grew the event. Top Taco was kind of the thing the first year. And then last year they added the Agave Week portion. And this year the Agave Week portion has expanded even further. So all kinds of cool stuff. Seminars and panel discussions. There's tastings, guided judgings. There's an industry day. A lot of fun events. It's all, most of that stuff's taking place at the Ace Hotel in the CBD. So we're going to get the rundown a little bit of Top Taco Agave Week. We're going to talk a little bit about Aranya, that fine Mexican restaurant that Richard runs there, as well as talk about mezcal and tequila. Sure, two of my favorite things. And then we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, Mexican food in general and some other pretty cool stuff. So that's our show today. I want to tell you a couple programming notes because of the fact with the holiday here and stuff like that. Our podcast only section, Another Shot with NOLA Drinks. We got a little one, but it's pretty short. But as always, I do want to encourage you to get the podcast. If you're listening here on the radio, you can get it on your favorite podcast platform. All the major ones have the show. Just look for NOLA Drinks, or you can just simply go to noladrinks.com, and we have links to all of the platforms there, as well as the way you can basically, from our website, just stream the podcast or download it and whatever you want to do. So whatever's easy for you to get the podcast, go check it out, because very often with the show, we have extended content that we only do on podcast. Again, Another Shot with NOLA Drinks, and a lot of fun. Sometimes we get further into the weeds with things and other ideas that you're only going to hear there. Also, another programming note, friends, we have a good show coming up next week for you on January 7th. On the radio, we are going to be kicking off our French Quarter Fest series. You've probably heard me talk about it before here on the show. Really proud to have partnered up with our friends at French Quarter Fest, the finest music festival in the world, as far as I'm concerned, as well as our friends from Louisiana Music Factory, the finest record store in the world, as far as I'm concerned. And yeah, we put this whole program together. We've done little bits of this in the past where we've interviewed musicians on the show and talk about the music and their love or connection to food and drink. Local folks, of course, here in New Orleans and the greater Southeast Louisiana area has been the focus, but we kind of formalized it a little bit with our friends at French Quarter Fest, and we're talking to musicians. Usually it'll be two artists or members of two different bands put together in one interview session to kind of fuel the conversation, and we talk about their music, as I said, but of course we also talk about drink and food and culture and all kinds of other things. And all of these folks have or will perform at French Quarter Festival, and French Quarter Festival is coming up in April of this year, the 36th annual French Quarter Fest. So we're really looking forward to this series. We're going to kick it off with our first show, and that is an interview with the fine jazz singer Stephanie Jordan, really jazz and R&B singer, I should say, Stephanie Jordan, and the wonderful jazz clarinetist, great guy, Tim Lachlan. So that's really fun. That'll be the first one. And we'll have more coming down the pike. We taped that recently at Louisiana Music Factory, which is another way. Just go check out our Facebook page at NOLA Drinks, and you can check it out. You can come see us when we actually do these interviews live in the record store. We're going to be doing them in advance, you know, usually weeks in advance from when they run. But it's an opportunity for you to come check it out. You can ask questions of the musicians. You can ask me questions, but you probably don't want to, and I'll probably give you a wrong answer anyway. But there you go. So that'll be the show next week. Friends, just a quick message here. You know, in 2019, I hope I have some hopes for 2019, like we all do. You know, I hope that we take honesty a little more seriously in 2019. I hope 2019 is a year of inclusiveness. I hope that 2019 is a year that heals and brings us together a little more, where we stop some of this lunatic fringe rhetoric out there that is not grounded in truth. It's grounded in hate and mistrust and misinformation. I really hope that we all step back here, and I'm mostly speaking to my friends that are listening in the United States. If you're outside the area listening in another country, hey, a lot of this probably applies as well. But we've had a lot of bad stuff happen in this country lately, and a lot of a toxic conversation and interactions. And I think it's time to pull back here a little bit and realize, you know, not everyone thinks like you do or I do. Not everyone believes in what you do or I do. Not everyone looks like you do or I do. Our country is built on diversity. It always has been. It is a strength of this country. Multiculturalism and inclusivity are not a weakness. They are a strength. Diversity is a strength. So pull back, and if you're one of those people out there that thinks it's my way or the highway, you're really a big part of the problem. You need to pull back and think about where we can come together, where we can find common ground, and where we can draw strength from diversity, inclusivity, multiculturalism, human rights, truth, justice. These are the things that I hope we're able to find in 2019. Get back closer to. I know some of this never really existed, so I don't want to be naive here and paint a rosy picture of the past that didn't exist. But I hope we can start to undo some of the damage that's been done in the past few years here in the United States and really around the world. So friends, that's my hope for 2019. And as always, I really appreciate you listening to the NOLA Drink Show week in and week out. It's a pure joy, pleasure, and honor to bring it to you. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. We're going to be back at Aranya. Come on back. Hey friends, Brian Diaz here with the NOLA Drink Show. Agave Week is back with its new headquarters at the Ace Hotel in downtown New Orleans. Week-long events kick off Sunday, March 10th with tequila and mezcal tastings, seminars, panel discussions, and one-of-a-kind parties. Visit NOLAAgaveWeek.com for tickets and info. The Grand Tasting is the third annual Top Taco with unlimited gourmet tacos and cocktails from some of the best restaurants in the city. It's happening at Waldenburg Park Thursday, March 14th from 7 to 10 p.m. For tickets and info, visit TopTacoNOLA.com. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show this week. Hey, everybody, happy New Year. If you're listening on the radio, it's almost New Year's. And if you're listening to the podcast, it is New Year. So happy 2019 once again, everyone. And pleased to be here at Aranya, a very fine restaurant uptown in New Orleans on Magazine Street, joined by my friend, chef and owner, Richard Papier. Richard, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Good to see you, Brian.
It's good to see you too, man. Thanks for having us here to do the show.
Hey, I'm glad to have you here.
Yeah, cool. And also, we're joined by my friend, Shane Finkelstein, who runs the thing known as Agave Week and Top Taco. Shane, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Always good to have you guys on. You guys were on. I was trying to think. We did this once before where you were on, right, Richard?
And yeah.
And Shane. And where do we do? I'm trying to remember where we did this one.
I think that was at the studio, wasn't it?
Did we do this at the radio station?
Yeah.
That's probably right.
We brought some cocktails in as well.
Okay, right on. Okay, that's probably why I don't remember that.
That was 2 years ago, right?
Was that 2 years?
That was 2 years ago. That was the first year, I think.
Was it?
Yeah.
Time flies.
Yeah, there you go. We're coming up and going to be embarking on the third annual Agave Week, which has grown from just being Top Taco to Agave Week. And Shane, let's talk a little bit about that just to kick things off. So, you know, we're here beginning of January as people are hearing this, but it's right around the corner, man.
Yeah, be here before you know it. March 10th is the kickoff event, the world's largest Bloody Maria bar. And we have commissioned ballroom space at the Ace Hotel in downtown New Orleans this year. We're really expanding the Agave Week concept. We're going to have a bunch of seminars, panel discussions, tastings, parties. I think people are going to be really impressed with where we're going with that.
Let's talk a little bit about the event, as you just mentioned, Shane, because it started out, this is the third annual, as I just said, and it really just started out as the Top Taco, kind of the main big fandango on the Thursday night where everybody's partying, live music, tacos, and then agave cocktails. But then starting last year, the second annual, you grew it to have week-long activities, dinners, as you were saying, all this kind of other stuff. So tell us kind of the trajectory of how we've gone from just being Top Taco to Agave Week.
Well, yeah, Top Taco was actually started in 2014 in Denver. It was became a really successful event out there, produced by some of my friends that I've known for a long time. I asked them to come to New Orleans and help me produce Top Taco New Orleans, and they were all about it. They love the city here. And at the end, we had a superly successful first year with Top Taco, and the second year, after the first year events, the brand said, wow, what an awesome consumer event that was, but is there any way where you can add some more educational elements to Top Taco? And I said, well, not really for Top Taco, but I might be able to expand the idea around this Agave Week concept, which no one else is doing in the country. It's a very unique concept, bringing together all the brands and service industry personnel and tequila aficionados, and to learn more about the agave plant and the all the different sotal and mezcal and all the different types of mezcal that are available out there. So
yeah, it's pretty interesting what you did last year, and it surprised me when you told me that no one was doing Agave Week. One would assume with all the things that go on that there was an Agave Week out there. But educating people on the agave plant, and as you just said, we're talking about mezcal and tequila principally that come from the piña, the plant there. And let's talk a little bit, too. Let me ask you this question, Richard, because you got involved. You were involved in year one as well.
Correct.
And involved in year two. So you run Aranya here on Magazine Street, a Mexican spot. But what attracted you to get involved in Top Taco, man?
It just seemed like a great event. I think we were one of the first people Shane talked to about it. And, you have all these other festivals that go on in town, basically featuring whatever it is, whether it's fried chicken, po' boy fest, or whatever else. And, why not do taco? Who doesn't like tacos?
Right. Yeah, I don't like you if you don't like tacos.
Yeah, exactly. I don't trust you.
So then you got involved and you guys participated. So getting involved with the Top Taco portion, served up a whole bunch of tacos that first year.
Yep.
And then what as far as the Agave Week stuff then, Richard, goes on expanding that part of the program. I know not necessarily directly involved in that,
correct,
but are you enthusiastic about that?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Tequila and mezcal and stuff?
I mean, it helps us too because we have such a large selection of tequila and mezcals. We've got a couple sotals off and on, and it gets people to come in and drink. People think tequila is that thing you shot when you're a frat boy in college,
right,
and you threw up all over the place, not realizing that really good tequilas can be like a nice fine scotch or bourbon. There's different notes to it. You've got vanilla, you've got a little bit of spice, pepper. It's just one of those things that I think people are afraid of because they don't know about it, but I've seen an influx. Especially with things like Agave Week and just people being more receptive to trying tequila and realizing this is not the thing that almost ended my life when I was young.
Right, there you go.
Well, your head bartender was one of our blind tasting judges at last year's Agave Week. You want to talk a little bit about your tequila card that you have here?
We have a tequila passport that we've started. And it basically has most of the tequilas that we carry in the restaurant. And once you go through the whole passport, by drinking or tasting each one of them, we have special prizes and giveaways to go with that. And while you're trying and learning about tequila, you're also building up to something fun afterwards.
Yeah, cool. And when we come back after the break, which we're going to take in a few minutes, we got a little bit of time, we're going to talk about Aranya a little bit specifically so we can get back into that. But let's talk about with mezcal and tequila, and I'll flip this to you, Shane. We do see more on the market now these days, especially on the mezcal side, and we see a lot more craft producers, don't we, being available just in general in the United States and elsewhere, but in New Orleans specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, mezcal is the hottest spirit on the market right now. Every restaurant in the city's got mezcal cocktails. You hardly ever see tequila cocktails on the menus now. It's all mezcal because the quality of the mezcal that are coming into our market, whether it's Del Maguey or Bozal or Bago, are amazing. They're just amazing brands. And we're actually dedicating one entire day of our Agave Week to mezcal. We're going to have a Mezcalicious event, which is going to be a cocktail tasting event. We're going to have Del Maguey is going to produce a seminar with a tasting. We're doing panel discussions where we're going to have we're going to learn about the different types of beyond the tequila. What there's actually nine different agave spirits out there, like Sotol, that
right.
people are just starting to become familiar with locally. You know, in places like Colorado and Texas, they know about all these brands, but locally here, we're just learning about all the differences, the nuances between these different spirits.
Now, I mean, a lot of these, too, are we're talking about small production to begin with in Mexico, and so just not even available really in the marketplace, not exported. And now I think we see, as you said, it's a hot category in general. When you, Richard, when you look to do this, I think there's an educational process in this when we talk about higher-end tequilas, right? Because
yeah.
we're not just talking about some of the, I won't name names, but the stuff that you're talking about barfing when you're in a frat
yeah.
in college, to, mezcals as well, because mezcals are going to come at a premium. They're expensive to make. They're small production. So when you're running a spot here, how do you find that balance of introducing new stuff, bringing in new products so it doesn't sit there, and then educating your customers on, hey, you should give this stuff a shot?
Well, we basically give them what they know first. Or we ask them, what do you like to drink? Well, I like to drink this brand. And we kind of give them a little quick education. It's like, that's a good tequila. I've got something at the same price point that'll blow your socks off. It's got a little more to it. Let me introduce you to it. Give them a little taste of it. They like it. They wind up buying, a shot of that to sip on. And from there, they start asking questions. It's kind of an open door. Once you open the door to something that's exciting, people want to know about it.
Right. What are we seeing, Shane, in regards to on the cocktail front then? I think we know with tequila, for example, right, that there are a handful of cocktails out there that everybody, the margarita, the paloma, that everybody associates. But I think we see a lot of creativity, and including in mezcal as well. When you're putting together the event and you're dealing with these people, with the brands and stuff coming in, are you seeing people, bringing in bartenders and doing the global ambassador thing, getting out there and showing you the diversity of the spirits?
Yeah, you can use tequila in place of just about any type of spirit out there. But you have to really use the right type of tequila. If you're making an old fashioned or Manhattan, you're going to want a smokier, an añejo type of tequila. If you're trying to make a Bloody Mary, you're probably going to want to go with a Blanco. It's just the versatility of the spirit. You're not going to make a whiskey Bloody Maria or Bloody Mary. It just doesn't work.
People
right?
have, and they do.
Yeah.
it doesn't,
in desperation.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work quite right. It's just getting people trained to think like, hey, let me try a little tequila in my Bloody Mary. It's better. It tastes better. It's more, it's got, more to it than just this bland vodka.
Yeah. And you've got tequilas like, I know the El Tesoro has got that pepperiness on the end of it. It goes mm-hmm. really good. And Bloody Marys, we do a lot of that here at Aranya. We have the Bloody Maria, which we use the tequila in. We've made a Manhattan using tequila.
Okay.
We've also done an old fashioned doing it as well. Armand, who's the creator of all the cocktails. We actually have little barrels that'll age some of the stuff in for a few weeks, just to give it those flavors.
Okay.
And I'll let them talk about it a little bit later.
Yeah.
At Top Taco Nacho Mama's, which is my restaurant, we did tequila bramble, which is normally a gin drink.
Yep,
worked perfectly. It was actually one of the favorite cocktails out there.
Yeah,
so.
I got to tell you, one of my very favorite cocktails, guys, out there. When you're talking about substituting in for a classic, is a mezcal Negroni, because that smokiness from the mezcal, typically found in most mezcals, plays just perfectly. Another gin cocktail, as you were saying, Shane. So
yep.
That to me is actually a go-to, swapping in the base spirit as we're talking about here. And certain things don't work, but you can do this with a lot of different drinks. You can certainly even do it on a martini level as well, I think, because
yeah.
I like smoky. So a mezcal martini is actually
we really make an effort at Top Taco to award people for thinking outside the box. So it's a competition, Top Taco is,
right.
And we have awards for Top Taco and Top Traditional Taco, Top Creative Taco, Top Traditional Margarita, but we also have for Top Creative Tequila Cocktail,
mm-hmm.
and that gives people a much more variety of cocktails that they can taste at our event.
Top Agave Cocktail, right? Because
yeah.
then you actually have people that were doing stuff with mezcal as opposed to tequila
yep.
last year,
yep.
which I think was a nice little switch there.
Yeah.
Are you thinking about grouping in the Paloma with the Margarita this year and kind of going classic cocktail and then contemporary cocktail?
No, we're going to keep it
just margarita.
Keep it margarita
okay.
because that's really what you know, that's the go-to tequila drink, and we'll probably keep that. But, you know, if somebody can come up with a unique Paloma, that could definitely stand up against any of the other cocktails.
Sure, absolutely, without a doubt. Well, let's do this, you guys. We're going to take a little break here on the show. We're going to come back. We are here at Aranya on Magazine Street chatting with Shane and Richard. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Richard's background, talk a little bit about Aranya, more about Agave Week and Top Taco. Come on back.
Now, if you ever been down to New Orleans, then you can understand just what I mean.
We say Le Bon Temps Brûlé. Brian Diaz here with the NOLA Drink Show. Yeah, from the city that shares a deep connection to bourbon and knows how to throw a party, comes the third annual New Orleans Bourbon Festival from March 20th through the 23rd. Discover over 150 bourbons and American whiskeys, as well as great food at the Grand Tasting. Check out more than 30 seminars led by industry luminaries, special distiller dinners, and much more. The event is brought to you by Beam Suntory, Four Roses, Brown Foreman, Uncle Nearest, Bourbon Plus, and the Hilton Riverside. More info and tickets at nobourbonfest.com. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you. Thanks for listening in this week. Once again, Happy New Year, everybody. 2019, here we are. And, yeah, we are here at Aranya, Uptown Magazine Street. What's the address here, Richard?
3242 Magazine.
3242 Magazine, right across the street from Bromart. That'll help you out if you don't know where we're talking about exactly. And this is your spot, man. So tell us about Aranya, dude.
Well, Aranya is something that I've been wanting to do for a while, and just got tired of doing fine dining, wanted to do casual dining, wanted to do something that, you know, myself and other chefs like to go eat without having all the pomp and circumstance of sitting down.
Where were you at before, man?
I was a few places. I worked for Emerald for quite a while. Yeah, okay. I left Emerald's in 99 to go to Herb Saints. I was the chef of the Della Chase until Katrina. I was in North Carolina. I was the chef at the O. Henry Hotel. Did catering and food styling in the food business. All kinds of places. And you know, this is something that I really wanted to do, you know, working at I can't forget Takeros. Yeah, oh my God, Guillermo would beat that. Anyway, you know, he was my mentor. He was the one who introduced me to these flavors. You know, this is what I like. It's just small. It's casual. It's a place you can go with friends, family, any you know, group. And just have a good time and get good food.
So, how did you mentioned who your mentor was, but was that your connection to Mexican cuisine?
Yeah, I always liked Mexican cuisine. I didn't understand it. I never had anything real Mexican wise. You know, I think I was like every other kid growing up in America. Taco Tuesdays, mom brought home the Ortega taco shells and ground beef and, you know, shredded cheddar and, you know, tomatoes on top. And, you know, I ate at this guy's place, and it just opened my mind up to the flavors. It's like amazing. It's like, wow, this is good stuff.
Well, and what are you going? Because I think we know, and I say this whenever we talk about Mexican food on the show, it's kind of unfair to say Mexican food. Mexico's a huge country with a great diversity of cuisine and style.
Correct.
So, what is your here at Aranya? What are you focusing on?
You know, I think the flavors are more of like Oaxaca or maybe the Yucatan. But we present it more of in a Tex-Mex way because people are accepting of that plating, you know.
Yeah, right.
They're used to going to all the chain restaurants that are Mexican food. So I have to present it in that format, but take the flavors that I know that are from, you know, Mexico City or other places in the Yucatan and presenting it in that fashion. It seems to work out well for us.
Have you had the opportunity? I'm pretty sure you have. Something you've told me this before. You've done some traveling down in Mexico.
Yeah,
done some exploring in that direction. Right?
Yeah, I have. I love doing it. I've been down with my girlfriend a few times, and she's Mexican herself. And you know, her grandmother, the first time I met her, came up to me and she said, "You are not a gringo. You are Mexican." right after that, she had my enchiladas and mole. So, you know, that was kind of a, you know, call me mijo and called her abuela. We were set to go.
You got the secret handshake.
Yeah.
Called her abuela and you were
yep,
in.
Yep, yeah. Yep.
Right on. How long has Aranya been here, man?
We have been almost 4.5 years now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And we were talking about how you're doing a tequila and a mezcal. Well, it's all agave passport, right? Are you including mezcal in that as well?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And so you kind of go through and people, every time they taste one, you get a stamp in the book and
correct.
The whole idea. How many are we looking at here to complete the circle?
God, I think at this point it's well over 60. You know, we have more than that tequila on our shelves as well. I know we just updated it recently. We'd have to talk to Armand about that, but I know it's enough.
It's enough. It'll keep you busy for a while.
Yeah.
Shane, how far along are you in the passport, man?
Oh, I finished the passport like 2 years ago.
It only took him 2 years.
I got a free T-shirt.
Eric Paulson asked me one time if this passport would get across the border. I said, across the border, sobriety.
Yeah, there you go. I like it. That's a good passport right there, man. That's one we can use. So you can just sort of come in and then check. And does it? Do you have a shot, or do you just get a small pour in a cocktail, kind of anything you want?
It's basically a shot. Okay. It's not just going straight forward, so you can actually get to know what the tequila is, the profile of the tequila, and understand it better. You know, rather, I mean, believe me, they're great drinks as well, but you're going to not use some of the higher end stuff. It doesn't make sense.
Exactly like we were talking about during the break, right?
Yeah.
Not going to use $100 extra on Yeho to make a variation of a Manhattan.
You're not going to put flames on your Ferrari.
Yeah, right. Exactly. There you go. Well, tell us a little bit about the bar program here, too. So you have Armand run the bar for you.
Yes.
And I'm assuming he takes this pretty seriously as far as when customers come in and maybe are interested in doing the passport or, you know, want to explore some stuff. Is he the tour guide?
Pretty much. I mean, he's created this whole cocktail list, and he does some amazing stuff. If you want him to talk about it, I can actually let him speak about it.
Yeah, go ahead. Armand, pull that right up there, man.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful.
Awesome. So, Armand, you're running the bar here at Aranya. We're throwing you in mid-segment, man, so I apologize for that. But, yeah, get right up there close.
Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about it, man.
We have a wonderful tequila listing, a lot of boutique brands, you know, things that you won't really normally find in the restaurants or bars. You know, I try to have a very wide variety of things that kind of touch every type of person that would want to come to the restaurant, you know, some flavored tequilas. And with the beverage program, yeah, I mean, I try to touch on every nerve, you know, different wide variety of margaritas. We have about maybe 9 to choose from.
Okay.
Jalapeno pineapple is a wonderful margarita that we have on the menu. Champagne margarita is great.
Oh, yeah. What do you do there?
Basically, it's a top shelf margarita with a Corbel champagne on top. So,
oh, okay.
A little best of both worlds. Champagne with margarita with a little bubbly.
A little tequila. I like that.
Can't beat that. And everything's made in-house, from all the agua frescas to all the syrups and all the shrubs use for all the cocktails as well.
Armand, what is your background then? How did you get into bartending, and then how did you get into being an agave specialist?
I just liked agave. I started liking it, started drinking it a lot like a few years back. I guess I used to drink a lot of whiskey and bourbons, and then I switched over to tequila just because couldn't drink it anymore, getting a little too old. So out of necessity. Right. No, but I just like agave and tequila. I think it's just really interesting the fact that, you know, as opposed to brandy and whiskeys, the aging cycle is so much smaller than with – well, aging is in the front of it, you know, in the growth cycle than as opposed to barreling and aging.
How did you get into bartending then in general?
Just learned how to do it, started doing it.
And you were
interested in it?
Is this the first place you've been behind the stick, or you?
No, I ran a couple other restaurants uptown. I worked at Bourbon House for a while, like years and years ago.
Okay.
I just like bartending.
Gotcha. And then, so how long have you been here working with Richard?
A long time.
Yeah.
About 4 years.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean to link.
That was a good answer. Long time. All right, moving right along right there. So we were talking to Armand before you sat down. When people come in, and like we were talking about the passport that y'all are doing here, the agave passport. It's a spirit that sometimes, especially when we're talking about mezcals or maybe even like the premium tequilas, kind of a hand sell, right? Especially, say, in a retail setting or even in a bar setting. So how do you approach that an educational opportunity?
Well, I mean, especially if I'm behind the bar, I like them to look through the passport, and I'll pick certain things, and we'll just talk about the tequila. You know, it's for the enthusiasts that do come in, and then people do come very frequently, to gain knowledge and just to try different things. And I try to keep getting new and new and new tequilas for them to enjoy.
To keep trying. Now, what I'd say, like with mezcal, and either one of you can answer this, because I think we were talking about this a little bit before, Richard.
Yes.
You know, sometimes taking that leap into the world of mezcal can be daunting for some.
Yes.
How do you approach that?
I mean, Even with mezcal, there's different wide varieties of flavor profiles. There's sweeter mezcals that have more agave to them.
Yeah.
There's mezcals that are less smoky. So, I mean, I'll have them try a cocktail with mezcal at first, and then that'll kind of be the segue in, and then we'll have, you know, try different things that way.
Yeah, cool. Awesome. So, you guys do a happy hour, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, a little bit.
Okay.
we have the best happy hour in the city, I would say.
Three to seven, Monday through Friday. We have half off of just about almost all the drinks in the restaurants.
Okay,
and we also do taco specials as well, too, with that.
Great. Well, here, this is one of the things that's going to happen to your great misfortune, the two of you, is after we're done taping the show here, I'm going to have some drinks and food. If that's okay.
Absolutely.
Please do.
All right, cool. That's going to be really good. Well, you guys, let's do this. Let's take a little break here on the show. We're going to come back. I think we'll probably pull standing right behind me. You're creeping on me, man, back there. Shane Finkelstein's going to come back, and we'll talk a little bit more about Top Taco, all right? Take a little break here on the Noel Drink Show, friends. Come on back.
Dad's been shucking dozens since 42.
Hey friends, Brian Diaz here with the NOAA Drink Show. Agave Week is back with its new headquarters at the Ace Hotel in downtown New Orleans. Week-long events kick off Sunday, March 10th with tequila and mezcal tastings, seminars, panel discussions, and one-of-a-kind parties. Visit NOLAAgaveWeek.com for tickets and info. The Grand Tasting is the third annual Top Taco with unlimited gourmet tacos and cocktails from some of the best restaurants in the city. It's happening at Waldenburg Park Thursday, March 14th from 7 to 10 p.m. For tickets and info, visit TopTacoNOLA.com. Laissez-les bon temps brûlé. Brian Diaz here with the NOLA Drink Show. Yeah, from the city that shares a deep connection to bourbon and knows how to throw a party, comes the third annual New Orleans Bourbon Festival from March 20th through the 23rd. Discover over 150 bourbons and American whiskeys, as well as great food at the Grand Tasting. Check out more than 30 seminars led by industry luminaries, special distiller dinners, and much more. The event is brought to you by Beam Suntory, Four Roses, Brown-Forman, Uncle Nearest, Bourbon Plus, and the Hilton Riverside. More info and tickets at nobourbonfest.com. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Yeah, hey, we're talking Agave Week, Top Taco, Aranya, Mexican food, mezcal, tequila, many, many of my favorite things in one episode. Pleased to be joined here, also again, Richard Papier, owner and chef of Aranya. Buddy, thanks for taking some time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us here, man.
Yeah, well, thanks for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. And Shane Finkelstein, who runs Top Taco and Agave Week. How you doing, man?
Great.
Great. Let me mention really quickly, too. I know we didn't want to focus on this too much, but you yourself run a Mexican joint out there in Elmwood, Nacho Mama's, man.
Yep. Once upon a time, I was in this location where Aranya is, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Okay. Yep. With Nacho Mama's or something else?
Yeah, Nacho Mama's was here about 5 years ago.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I think we always, I think we said before in the past, he's been kind of like the godfather willing the location to me.
That worked pretty
well. I handed my baby off to my Jewish friend.
There you go. On this day, you'll take this. Yes, I'm just saying.
Yes. Tacos for everyone. That's cool. So was that a pretty smooth? Did you move right in when he moved out? Is that,
No.
Okay. This was it was a couple other things before that. And then we jumped in afterwards.
Okay, cool. Well, let's talk about this, you guys, in the last segment here. We're going to circle back on all the particulars you need to know about Aranya and Agave Week and Top Taco and so on and so forth. But let's talk a little bit just about Mexican food in general, because I think especially a lot of people that either live here probably know this, but people that are listening outside the area may not know that. We know New Orleans and the area is one of the great culinary traditions, great culinary destinations and scenes on the planet, frankly. But we've really traditionally been pretty light on the Mexican food front, I would say really kind of up until recently, right?
Yep.
Yeah, back in the day when Nacho Mama started, we were one of the only games in town. That was almost 20 years ago now. Now there's, Rangers stepped up the game. There's places like Johnny Sanchez.
Del Fuego. You know,
Del Fuego is excellent.
Pablo Rio.
Yep. Yeah. And there's several more opening. One called Barracuda on Chapachulas will be opening. And Taco Loco will be opening. And
Nola Cantina on Frenchman.
Yeah, Nola Cantina. Yeah. They'll all be in Top Taco this year. So it'd be quite a gang of great restaurants involved.
Yeah. Well, now, why do we think this is? I know I'm kind of asking a weird question, maybe, because you know, people again from outside the area, maybe they don't realize how much they like Creole cuisine, Cajun cuisine, things like that, and traditional New Orleans European, you know, based on old world cuisine, dominates the scene. We actually have had a sizable Mexican population in the area for a while, and to me it was always just kind of a head-scratcher as to why there wasn't a broader Mexican cuisine world up until the past handful of years.
I'm going to put it to the same way that tequila. People just had a certain style of what they thought Mexican food was. The same thing like tequila. You know, people ate Mexican food. They thought it had to be Taco Bell or or a drive-through, and if it wasn't, you know, a dollar or less per item, it wasn't Mexican food, you know, and realizing that you get stuff that doesn't come out of a can that's not processed, I think people, with the way they're eating nowadays and also with the generation that they want to eat better, they want to eat more authentic, it's helped out a lot.
Mm-hmm. And you said something, too, about using like kind of a bit of a Tex-Mex focus because of the aesthetic of presentation is really important. I think people don't really realize that the difference between Tex-Mex and some of the traditional presentations are really quite different.
Correct. I mean, it's like eating a bowl of SpaghettiOs and then eating the real Italian food. There's a big difference.
I always like the term how you put things in certain terms. You don't put flames on a Ferrari, Richard.
Yeah.
That's strong right there, man. You don't eat a bowl of SpaghettiOs and think that's Italian food.
That Mexican population didn't really exist in New Orleans before Katrina. It was actually Honduran population here. We had no Mexican population here.
Yeah.
So, you know, that has definitely come along since Katrina. And it's it's well represented in Kenner with places like Chilango's. They have excellent food out there. There's some really good taco trucks around town. But you know what? It takes a lot of money, and it takes a lot of teamwork, a lot of effort to run a full-service restaurant. And it also, you know, takes support by local banks. And not all these guys can get loans to open a restaurant.
I think that's a really good point, because I think that's why you see some of the growth of, say, like taco trucks and even some of the taco booths like over at the flea market.
The flea market,
in Algiers and stuff like that.
That's great. I love going there on Sundays.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you get started. I'm always very curious, because we talk about certain things around here in town, how certain cuisines will pop up when you don't have that population base to support it or start it. You know, in other words, we don't have a big Japanese population here or culture here, so things like the growth of shochu, you know, as a spirit, I always find really interesting, because it's got to come in from other means, or it takes folks that are not necessarily of that ethnic origin to introduce it, like bartenders, for example.
Yeah, like the whole ramen craze.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. That's a good. Not a lot of Japanese people running ramen restaurants here in New Orleans.
No.
No.
And they're not Japanese people opening these restaurants. They're mostly Chinese, Vietnamese, or Americans.
Yeah, or Americans, exactly. That's exactly my point. Well, you guys, let's do this. Got about 3 or 4 minutes left, Shane. Let's circle back on Agave Week and Top Taco. Give people the particulars, because all these events are going on. So how do people get tickets, and how does that work?
Yeah, so we have there's going to be events Sunday, March 10th, Monday, March 11th, and Tuesday, March 12th at the Ace Hotel. We have stuff like the Top Tequila Competition, which is a blind judging competition. You can purchase tickets to be a People's Choice judge. We're going to have Agave Week wristbands for a very limited number of Agave Week wristbands, which will be announced in early January with all the events. That website is NOLAAgaveWeek.com. And it's going to be awesome. If you're an agave fan, you definitely want to come out for the event. We have a limited number of hotel rooms available at the Ace Hotel for $169 a night.
Is there a promo code or something?
You can currently go through our website at toptaconola.com, and you can get a hotel room, and you can be downtown for all the events.
Great. And Top Taco itself, Thursday evening, right on the 14th, is that correct?
Yep. The tickets are available right now at toptaconola.com. We have every $45 tickets available right now. That's $30 off the regular price.
Okay.
$45, $65, and $95 tickets all the way up to VIP. First tasting, which is a great deal. You get an hour extra of partying. The VIP is going to be awesome. It's going to be sponsored by El Tesoro this year. We're going to have eight top chefs from around the city working with El Tesoro for tacos and cocktails. It's an unlimited event. Your ticket is all-inclusive. It gets you into the event, and unlimited tacos, margaritas, tequila tastings, wine, beer.
Live music, right?
Live music, live Latin bands, Otra. It's, it's quite a spectacle. If you haven't been, it's something that and it's actually all for a great cause. We have raised over $45,000 for local foster kids in the city, and this year our goal is to double that. We're going to do $45,000 in 1 year for Foster NOLA, which is a new organization dedicated to helping kids that age out of the state foster care system.
That's great. I'm glad you said that. Are you still getting restaurants on board? Do you have a head count, do you think?
Yeah, well, we've got a lot of new restaurants we're trying to make space for. It's kind of a puzzle that I got to put together for bringing these tequila brands and restaurants together. We are definitely going to have, we're shooting for 50 restaurants this year, which is about 10 more than we had last year.
Awesome.
We want to cut down on those lines. We're going to have 500 less tickets available.
Okay.
So we want to make it a better experience for everybody. Got a little too big last year. We want to kind of rein it in a little bit, make sure all of our guests are happy.
Great. Perfect. We'll do it. We're going to be doing another show talking about Top Taco in a few weeks. So once we know more about all the specifics, we'll let you know that. Richard, we got about a minute left before we're going to close out the radio portion here of the show. Where do we find Aranya again, man?
3242 Magazine, right across the street from Bromart.
Cool. And what about online, man? Facebook and website and all that good stuff.
It's aranyataqueria.com on Facebook. We are on, I think it's Aranya NOLA on Instagram. Facebook is Aranya Taqueria. That's it.
Real quick, Matt, are you starting to ramp up your thoughts for the you got second place in the Critics' Choice
last year for
tacos. You starting to think about what you're going to do this
year? Yeah. You know what the funny thing is? I think about it all year long, and I kill myself, and then probably a month before it happens, it just pops in my head.
Some things are just memorable out there. I remember it was the duck carnitas. Wasn't
it? Duck carnitas with the kumquat pickled pico.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was great. You guys, thanks very much for taking some time out to be here today. I really appreciate it.
And, thank you, Brian.
Happy New Year.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate it.
All right, everybody, we're going to close out the radio portion here of the show. Brian Deese here with you this week. Remember to be kind to one another. Use your turn signal. And until then, cheers, y'all. Everybody, thanks for listening in to another shot with NOLA Drinks. Yep, Brian Deese here with you as always. Happy New Year, everybody. Hope everyone's having a great 2019 thus far. Yeah, hey, this is another shot is brought to you by our good friends at Top Taco and Agave Week. So go check out toptaconola.com and nolaagaveweek.com for more. And funny, we mentioned those guys because that's who we've been talking to this whole show. And due to it being in the midst of the holidays, New Year's, blah, 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 we didn't do an extended interview of another shot with NOLA Drinks. Those guys didn't really have too much time to stick around. We had things going on, all kinds of things in motion. So we're kind of rolling another shot with NOLA Drinks and our parting shot right here into one. So a real short go of it. Quick programming note for you. Next week, we're going to be kicking off our French Quarter Festival series. As I noted at the top of the show, really looking forward to doing this. Our first two guests will be the jazz and R&B singer Stephanie Jordan, as well as jazz clarinetist extraordinaire Tim Lachlan, talking about music, drinking food, French Quarter Fest. We're hanging out there at the finest record store in the world, Louisiana Music Factory, and that's where we're going to be doing this series. We're going to have more episodes coming down the pike, but we're excited to kick that off. That'll be on the radio on January 7th, and the podcast will be out a day or two later, as always, with extended interviews. Yeah, we'll be back with the full version of Another Shot with NOLA Drinks next week. There you go. So here's our parting shot, friends. I was talking about some things here at the top of the show that I was hoping that we would see in 2019, some broad stroke stuff. You probably heard all that already. So here's what I want to say also. Here is my list of things, top 10 list of things that I want to see in 2019. So let me start. First thing, I would like to see the death of listicles and top 10 lists. Oh, I guess I better stop there then. There's fulfillment. There's our parting shot for you, friends. Happy New Year to everybody. Here's to you.